Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is Cody, joined by my co-host, James, the strongman Tron. James, how are you on this fine Christmas Eve podcast episode?
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling festive. Feeling like a toy soldier, if you know what I mean here.
Oh, heck yeah. You look like a toy soldier.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
Gotta fit the part. We gotta fight our way through the rest of these games and get to that finish line. See if we can't work our way into the playoffs, right?
Yeah, do something. Hey, if we win out, I think we're guaranteed to be in. But that's a big ask. That's a big ask for sure. But thank you for joining us on this Christmas Eve episode. Happy Christmas Eve, everyone.
Merry Christmas Eve.
No, it's Happy Christmas Eve. It's Merry Christmas, right? Am I wrong?
Oh,
is it Merry Christmas Eve? I've never heard somebody say Merry Christmas Eve.
You're looking in the corner as if there's someone there to ask.
No, there's not. There's two screens. There's two monitors. I'm looking at both of them.
Hey, T'Challa, which one is it?
Noelle, would you like to tell us? No, she's not. She's passed out. I do have, James already knows this, but I do have the other dog. So for anyone that doesn't know, real quick, my ex-wife and I, obviously ex-wife divorced now, unfortunately. But we did have two dogs together, and she took one dog, I took the other. But this dog, actually, you can see her right here if you're watching YouTube. Only dog I've ever had from a puppy. Only one. And so I was very, very happy and very appreciative that I get to have her for Christmas. So this will be a good year. Good Christmas.
Yeah.
Woo!
Absolutely, buddy.
Don't judge my kitty sweater. Just saying. But we are here to talk Steelers football, as always, and look ahead to this week's matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. So
yeah,
this will be fun. We have protected players first off, James, correct?
First off, yes. Some of these names are going to sound real familiar. First one, safety Carl Joseph. Second one, wide receiver Anthony Miller. Number three, Rashad Coward, the interior offensive lineman, mostly playing guard. And then the new one to the list, outside linebacker John Simon, who Pittsburgh just picked up like a couple weeks ago, really. You know, we kind of figured he might show his name on that. So good to see him on there. We'll see if that means they're thinking about possibly bringing him up. Maybe with all the situation going on at the middle linebacker position, you bring him up for an extra body on special teams.
Yeah.
We'll see, but it's a guy with some good pedigree and some good experience in the league. So nice to see him being protected as well. With some of those issues of Pittsburgh having to put some guys on the COVID list from the practice squad, one of those guys freed up a position in the interior offensive line, which Pittsburgh replaced with offensive guard Nathan Gilliam, who's been kind of bouncing around in the league a little bit of time, I think, with the Chargers thus far in his career. Then some news, good news on Kevin Dotson, Cody.
Yes, Kevin Dotson finally returns to practice, so he will be starting his 21-day process of getting back. You know, if he doesn't come back to the active roster within 21 days, then he's just done for the year. But this is very, very, very good news for Pittsburgh's offensive line. Very good news, because Kevin Dotson, again, probably the best offensive lineman we have right now.
Probably him and Okorafor are probably the two that have played the best this year. Very, very good news. It's a big, strong, physical guy who's good in pass protection as well. So to have the possibility of the starting left guard making it back, not necessarily for this game against the Chiefs, but possibly having him for the Browns and for the Ravens on those final two games, regardless of how this Chiefs game plays out, got to have him. It just will make a huge impact, and I won't be surprised if the running game starts seeing a little bit more success with him in there. Very, very good news. On the flip side, when there's good news, there always seems to be some bad news that happens with it. Yep. On Wednesday, we did see Devin Bush, Marcus Allen, and Zach Banner all go to the COVID list, unfortunately, on the same day. So,
yeah, very unfortunate to see that happen.
A little bit of bad news there.
Just a little bit of bad news. But we also, on Thursday, moving forward to that, we also saw Isaiah Buggs and Anthony McFarland get added to that COVID list as well. Isaiah Buggs being, I don't know what you want to call him, what string he technically is at defensive tackle at this point, because I feel like they just keep falling off.
He was second at the beginning of the year. Now he seems to be about fifth.
Yeah.
But he's been missing the last few games with an ankle injury anyway, so I really don't think he was going to play.
No.
Anthony McFarland's been a healthy scratch the last few weeks. So kind of similar thing there. At least so far, the middle linebacker position seems to be the only one heavily impacted at this time. So cross your fingers, hope that things clear up for the team and we don't get any additional people on the COVID list. But I think that's why we saw John Simon protected, is because Devin Bush and Marcus Allen makes you a little bit thinner than you were at the linebacker position.
Yeah.
So possible increased role for Ulysses Gilbert III, and definitely an increased role for Robert Spillane. We're going to see a lot of Spillane. Yes. He'll start with Schobert this week, because I don't see a way that Devin Bush comes back having just tested positive on Wednesday. So hopefully we'll see a good performance there, but you never know. Maybe some UG3 action, maybe he'll show us some stuff that the other guys haven't been able to show us so far.
We would love that. Just
saying. And Buddy Johnson, too. Buddy's going to get worked back in, man.
Yes, he is. Can't wait.
Another healthy news on the injury reports, too. He's been healthy.
Yeah. So. This week, they did release the Pro Bowl rosters. Obviously, barring any specific teams making it to the playoff or to the Super Bowl, then their players obviously wouldn't play in the Pro Bowl. But two Steelers did make it. We have Cam Hayward and TJ Watt both making it to the Pro Bowl, which is very good for both of them. Downfall, or not downfall, but like players that I personally believe got snubbed. I think that Deontay Johnson had better. I realized he needed more touchdowns, but as far as like receiving or receptions and receiving yards, he was better than two of the other guys on the list that made it. So I think he got snubbed as far as on offense. I'm starting to understand more of why James thinks someone else got snubbed, but it's also hard for me to see it. But you talk about it. You think someone else
got snubbed. My big one's Pat Freiermuth, but we're going to get into the other one that you're thinking of as well. I think Freiermuth easily deserved to get into the Pro Bowl this year, but I understand there's only two per side, and then it's kind of difficult for you to take the other guys off, knowing that you've got them on. So
yeah, Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce.
Yeah, how you take Kelce and Andrews off? That's I get it, but if there's a third one, I think Freiermuth should have been it for sure.
Yeah.
So Minkah Fitzpatrick, I get that a lot of people are like, well, he doesn't have 10 interceptions this year. Well, you know, he didn't get a lot of interceptions until the last month or so, because he was the reason that the top players on other teams were not beating us. When you went against a team and they had a marquee wide receiver, he's the one that bracketed them all game long to make sure they didn't torch us. Then teams just oftentimes went to the next player on the list and beat us with that guy. But regardless, he has been so instrumental in making a lot of tackles against running backs when nobody in the front seven would do it. And in the last month, he started really turning it on with turnovers, too. And that's because they're just letting him play free safety again instead of requiring him to take away one player, which is what they did at the beginning of the year. And we saw how that turned out. We lost way more games than we were winning, and things started turning around when you allowed him to play actual free safety again. So I feel like the voting was a little bit too much of the first part of the season and maybe even the first two thirds of the season, and not enough of the last month. If it were a "What have you done for me lately" award, he would definitely gone in. But it's just a lot of dumb stuff too. I mean, when you think back on him blocking that field goal and then scooping it and running it in for a touchdown, that's stuff that should be on his statistical categories and just isn't, because of a bad play call by the ref about throwing a flag when there was no flag to be thrown.
Yeah,
I will say this, and there's been a few times this year that he's been ripped off of turnovers that he's forced by the referees, and then when you see the review, it's obvious that it was a good play.
Yeah. I'll say this about it. I think that if they would have put in, because they only put in one free safety on the AFC.
Dumb.
I think if they would have done two, I think he would have been in.
Yeah, he should have been.
Because looking at the stats, you can't, I could not justify Kevin Byard was the free safety that got in for Tennessee. He has five interceptions, two forced fumbles and a sack on the year. That's more stats than what Minkah has. You can't. Yeah. But I think Minkah's, you know, block kick, the two interceptions he has. I think Minkah's been a playmaker. So I would like to know who the second one would have been had they put in a second one for sure.
Well, the only way we'll find out is if Tennessee Titans go to the Super Bowl or Byard opts out due to some sort of injury or something. Yep. So if he's got a nagging injury and decides not to go, then first alternate goes, and that's when you start finding out who the alternates were, first ones and second ones and that sort of thing. So there's still hope that there could end up being more Steelers in Cody and I's opinion. Who you're looking at is Deontay Johnson is probably one of the top alternates. Pat Freiermuth is probably a top alternate. Minkah Fitzpatrick, probably a top alternate.
After that.
Beyond that, I don't see anyone who you could even justify a vote for, honestly, which is sad to say.
Mine is the fact that Lamar Jackson got in.
Which is awful.
Yeah.
How does a dude with 16 touchdowns and 13 interceptions make it in? Like he
can
awful.
Run real fast, my guy. He can run real fast.
That is absolutely.
I would have rather seen
awful.
Joe Burrow go, like for real.
His numbers are way better.
Yeah,
way better.
Yep. Oh well, it is what it is.
He's got like almost 10 more touchdowns and like an extra 1,000 yards passing. Like, get out of here.
It is.
Like, if you're gonna put an AFC North quarterback in, Burrow is the one you should have put in.
Yep. Before we move on to looking into Kansas City Chiefs, there was also news about our offensive line coach. That's somewhat concerning.
Yeah, big rumors going on around the NFL with the Oregon Mighty Ducks out there trying to get themselves a whole new coaching staff. There's a changeover going on. There is rumor that they want Coach Clem, our offensive line coach, to come and be their offensive line coach. And it sounds as though he has some interest in doing so, and I can't blame him with what he's had to work with in Pittsburgh this year. I know we went to one practice, and we liked what we saw from him, but it was very obvious that he didn't like what he saw from his players that he was running through drills.
No, he went and did the drill for them.
Yeah, he literally would correct them and show them how to do it properly, and then they'd do it wrong again. He was getting so angry, and you're like, I don't know if these guys just don't care or they don't get it or what, but it was, you could see his frustration, no doubt. So we'll see how this plays out. Hopefully he doesn't leave the team before the season's over. Hopefully he sticks out the year if he does look to go to the college ranks. I thought, honestly, he showed some development with some of these guys, honestly.
Oh,
but
for sure.
I mean, the last few weeks we're seeing Dan Moore playing better and better, not giving up anywhere near as much pressure on the outside. The core four is having a solid season. I don't think there's really much he could do about Kendrick Green. Kendrick Green just doesn't get it, and he's bad at leverage. And if you're bad at leverage and you're a center, you're just going to lose a lot.
Which is what's happening.
Turner's just on the downward part of his career. And the left guard's just been a revolving door due to injuries. So,
big facts. All right, now it's time to look ahead to the Kansas City Chiefs. We're gonna go over their depth chart, talk about a couple guys that are on the COVID list. When I say couple, I mean about 9 or 10.
They had an outbreak. Luckily for them, it seemed to be contained to 2 days. Seems like it hasn't been much since then, which is good. That means the game should still go on.
Yeah.
Most of these guys went on, what, the 20th and the 21st, I think, is when they went on the list.
All of them are the 20th and 21st, correct.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's good because that means they've been clean the last couple of days. No new cases for them. So let's start with talking about their quarterback, right? Patrick Mahomes, maybe you've heard of him before.
Maybe.
Started off the season not looking that great, and then they've busted off, what, 7 or 8 wins in a row now?
Something
I think it's
like
8
that.
Now.
And here's the thing, with everyone saying he started off looking not great, I agree with that. However, if you look deeper into it and look at the actual plays, he threw a lot of interceptions that were catchable balls that specifically Tyreek Hill was not catching. I think Tyreek Hill... You could easily blame him for 4 or 5 interceptions this year. Easily.
I know the feeling, Deontay Johnson.
shots fired. but anyways, so don't be mistaken. Don't get confused when you see Patrick Mahomes throwing the number of interceptions he's thrown this year. Patrick Mahomes is still a phenomenal quarterback and can still make plays. So do not underestimate him. That's not one of my key takeaways or my keys to success. Don't worry. But yeah, Patrick Mahomes is still the real deal. You can kind of scheme for him a little bit better if you have a good enough defensive coach when it comes to scheming, because there's enough film on him now that you can figure out, like, you can game plan.
Yeah.
But we'll see what we actually game plan for. Pittsburgh recently has done a lot better against mobile quarterbacks than in the past. The last two or three years, we've done really good against mobile quarterbacks, minus Lamar once or twice.
Well, and with Lamar, we force him to turn the ball over a ton of times and then typically beat him.
Yeah.
He's not the type of guy that really concerns me. Mahomes is more the type of guy because he's mobile, but he uses it as his last resort and to extend the play and attempt to still pass the ball. As where a guy like Lamar, when he starts scrambling, he isn't even thinking about throwing the ball anymore. He's going to run.
Yeah.
So obviously that's going to be the biggest challenge for Pittsburgh is what may be the best quarterback in the NFL right now and maybe for the next 10 years or more. So slowing him down will be very difficult. Their starting running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, was a first-round pick a couple years ago in the NFL draft. Very elusive, very quick, all-purpose kind of back. So this is a guy we'll get some catches out of the backfield and we'll get runs. And I do believe that even though Kansas City is a pass first kind of team, they're going to use a lot of Clyde Edwards-Helaire this week, because why wouldn't you when you see that Pittsburgh can't stop the run?
Right.
You might as well run it a little more often than normal. Wide receiver room, Tyreek Hill, everybody's heard of him, but so has Mr. COVID, unfortunately for them.
Yes, sir.
So he is out with COVID currently. And then we've got Mecole Hardman, also exceedingly fast. Byron Pringle and DeMarcus Robinson at the wide receiver position. You got anything on any of those guys for me, Cody?
Mecole Hardman is debatably one of the most underrated wide receivers, in my opinion. Mecole is very capable, but is overlooked because of the guys. He's the third option there. Sometimes even the fourth, if you count Clyde.
Yeah.
You know, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce very easily are one and two. And depending on the week, that one's one and another one's two, but next week it's switched. But then so often they use the running backs out of the backfield as well. So that Mecole Hardman gets overlooked, but Mecole Hardman is very, very quick, very capable individual. I mean, obviously he's in the NFL, but I don't want to sleep on him. I realize he's their number two, but we don't have many good corners to stack up against these guys. If Tyreek Hill is able to come back. And again, just to clarify before we go over all these guys, all these players could very easily return from the COVID list that we're talking about. So if Tyreek Hill's back and healthy, and Travis Kelce, which we haven't got to, but also COVID, if both of those guys come back, I don't know who we're going to put on Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot. So we'll have to figure it out for sure. But yeah, I love their receiving core. They're very talented. The entire offense, honestly, is very talented.
Tons of speed. That's what Kansas City's known for, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Their wide receivers are pure speed. Both Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill are 4.2 guys, or are they low 4.3s? I don't know. It's like blazing fast.
I want to say Tyreek was a 4.2, and I think Mecole was a 4.3.
Their 40 times were only like 2/100ths of a second apart from each other. It was super, super fast on both these guys. So it's extremely important that Minka and Terrell Edmonds have some good discipline this week on maintaining that deep leverage and not letting them get in behind them. Because honestly, our corners are going to get run past.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Tyreek was a 4.29 and Mecole was a 4.33.
Yeah. so both insanely fast guys. The tight end position, Travis Kelce, considered by many to be the number one tight end in the league. If it's not him, it's George Kittle. So you're either calling him the best or the second best, I would say. And then the number two, Blake Bell, both of them are out with COVID right now. So if neither one of them can come back, then you're going to be looking at the third string guy, Noah Gray, starting the team for them. So that's a huge, huge factor, because obviously Travis Kelce, a very difficult matchup for anyone, especially when your most athletic middle linebacker's out.
Yeah.
So, and that's something that we've seen some improvement from Devin Bush in the last few weeks, is in his pass coverage abilities. So Robert Spillane, look for him to get a little bit more time matched up against the tight ends. He's a little taller than Bush, so that might work out a little bit better for Pittsburgh. Him and Schobert just both being a little bit taller individuals than Devin Bush is, just not as athletic. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. If Kelce is not able to come back, that might be kind of like a stalemate at that position. Tight end versus our middle linebacker won't be a huge advantage for them, which would be nice. That'd be a nice change, man.
Very, very nice.
Let's talk about this offensive line. I know we've said this before, but is this maybe the best offensive line Pittsburgh's gone against all year?
This could very easily be it. I know.
We talked about it with Cleveland, right?
We thought Cleveland
was going to be the best, but these names might be better.
They are going from left to right, and we'll talk about COVID whenever we hit them. Orlando Brown at left tackle.
Pro Bowler.
Joe Thuney at left guard.
Pro Bowler.
Center Creed Humphrey.
Just got voted the number one center in the entire NFL this year.
Yep. Trey Smith, right guard.
Absolute mauler, 6'6", 330.
Yep. And then Lucas Niang at the right tackle position.
COVID! There's an opportunity.
There it is.
They're starting right tackle as COVID. Other than that, this is an absolutely stud offensive line group. So Andrew Wiley listed as the backup right tackle. They also have Prince Tagovailoa, who we talked about in the pre-draft process as a backup offensive lineman. Maybe he'll start at right tackle. But that's the only thing that could be any weakness at all is right tackle, which coincidentally is opposite of where TJ Watt lines up. So could be a big day for TJ. I'm sure they will cheat. I'm sure they will use tight ends to chip and double team and try to slide protection that way. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if your tight end is just an average guy, don't even send him out for routes.
Nope.
I would just leave him to help double TJ all game long. But hopefully they don't do that. Hopefully they try to let him go one-on-one, because TJ could easily threaten that 22.5 off of just one game.
Oh, for sure. Defensive side of the ball, we're going to go through the defensive line. Again, left to right, you have Chris Jones. And then
Pro Bowler.
Amazing Pro Bowler.
Okay, I'm done.
Jaron Reed, Derek Nnadi, and Frank Clark. I think Frank Clark might even be a Pro Bowler. I could be wrong. Yeah.
If he isn't this year, he has been in previous years.
He's massive, man, to say the least.
So a lot of pressure is going to be applied from those individuals for sure. Mm-hmm. Not to mention they do have Mr. Ingram. Melvin Ingram on this defensive front as well.
I was going to get there. Melvin Ingram is going to – I expect Melvin Ingram to have a little bit more playing time in this game than he has with other games against or for the Chiefs, because it's us and we just got rid of him this year. We got him this year and got rid of him this year.
Yeah.
So he's going to come in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, to say the least, for sure. And no COVID or anything on their defensive line. It's once you get to the linebackers that you kind of start seeing it. You have Ben Neiman and Anthony Hitchens at the linebacker positions. Neither of them specifically have COVID, but linebacker Nick Bolton does. Nick Bolton is a backup linebacker who does see some playing time, and especially on special teams. So that is the first guy on their defensive side of the ball that is dealing with COVID right now. Do you want to go over the corners?
Yeah, Willie Gay gets a lot of playing time, too. They have him listed as a backup, but he plays a ton for them. Very athletic middle linebacker.
Yeah. Not to be confused with the William Gay the Steelers had. That was a corner.
Yeah. That was a big play, Willie Gay.
Heck yeah. Let's go over the corners real quick.
Cornerback room, we've got Charvarius Ward, Legarius Sneed, and Mike Hughes. They are missing a couple guys, both Rashard Fenton and Armani Watts. Are on the COVID list. Armani, I believe, is a nickel corner for them. listed as a backup safety on their website, listed on the COVID list as a corner. So he must be playing some slot for them. So they're down two bodies, but none of them seem to be starters. Their safety duo is going to be one of the top ones. Again, and we've probably said this previously, but one of the top safety duos we've faced the entire season. Both of them highly skilled in free safety, Juan Thornhill, and strong safety, Tyron Honey Badger Matthew. Mm-hmm. So two very good players, have an eye for the ball. Honey Badger is very tough against the run. And Juan Thornhill, a very athletic guy who can get sideline to sideline pretty quickly. So it's going to be very important that we have good spacing and the route combinations this week, because these guys can cover a lot of ground and they are able to get turnovers.
Yeah.
So corners nowhere near as talented as the safeties in this particular case. So going to be important that Ben looks these guys off to try to create space.
Yeah.
And take advantage of the tight ends in this game, because these off-ball linebackers are not top of the line off-ball linebackers. So. Hopefully we're able to get Freiermuth back. As of right now, he's still in concussion protocol. Has not been able to fully practice in any of the practices yet this week. We'll find out about the Friday one later on today. Hopefully, if he's able to practice today, I would look for him to play in this game. If he does not, he's definitely not playing, and then we'll have to wait another week for him versus the Browns.
Yep. Unfortunate. Punter, Tommy Townsend, kicker, Harrison Butker, who does have COVID.
On COVID! Yay! I shouldn't celebrate that. I'm sorry. That's bad. But the holder, that's bad, but that could be a big advantage for Pittsburgh, honestly. Big. Your backup kicker?
Very big.
Not too many teams have a good backup kicker.
Yeah. The placeholder is the punter. The long snapper is James Winchester. And then punt returner is Mecole Hardman because of that blazing speed. And kick returner is Byron Pringle. So... the special
team. Have you seen this long snapper, Cody? Have you seen him? Does he have guns?
James, stop it. I didn't even have to get his whole name out.
Yes.
Didn't even have to do it. He's 32 years old.
He's got guns for sure.
He probably does. You're not wrong. But yeah, that's going to wrap up. Well, excuse me. We have to go over takeaways.
Keys to success. Come on, man. We got to cut. Talk about our keys to success. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I want you to go first.
All right. First key to success that I've got for today is pressure up the middle. I know I always talk about pressuring the quarterback. I specifically want to see it up the middle. TJ Watt's going to get pressure, but the key here is to make sure that Mahomes can't step forward into his passes. If you make him move backwards and around, it's going to go right into Highsmith and right into Watt. But we've got to be able to collapse the pocket and push these guys back in the middle. So we need a big game from Cam Hayward. We need Wormley collapsing the pocket again like he's been able to do recently. And then maybe with Carlos Davis and some of the young bucks there as well. Hopefully they can get some of that pressure and push that interior pocket backwards. Number two, sustained drives.
Please,
let's not do three and outs. We need to sustain some drives, move the ball, yes. Give the defense a break from series to series. If you just keep on putting them back out there, Mahomes is going to end up torching them because they're going to get tired.
Yep.
So very important that we sustain some drives on offense. And then my final takeaway is finish those drives with touchdowns, not field goals. Four field goals was enough last week. It will not be enough this week. We absolutely have to get in the end zone more than once this week, probably at least three or four times to win this game, because Mahomes is going to put some points up. One way or another, he'll get those Chiefs into the end zone. So very important that we score with them enough to stay in the game until the end and not wait till the fourth quarter to score. What do you got for us, Cody? What are your keys?
Yes, sir. So my first one is going to go hand in hand with your last one. We need to score early and often and get in the end zone. I'm going to say it until it starts happening. I can't keep, there's nothing else I can do. We went the whole first quarter last time, for whole first half without a touchdown. We had 3 points in the first quarter, against the Tennessee Titans last week. We can't do that again, especially against a team like this. You already went over it. Patrick Mahomes and that offense can put up points. You know, whether they have Travis Kelce or not, whether they have Tyreek Hill or not, they can still put up points. They're very capable of doing that with their backups as well. So I want to see Pittsburgh score early and often. I want to see my dream ask right now is I want to see two touchdowns in the first. I don't even care if they come from the offense. I don't even care if they come from the offense. I want two touchdowns in the first quarter. I would be ecstatic. I would come on here next week and freaking, I don't even know what I would do. Would figure it out. My second key to success is not allowing their offensive line to bully us. We went over this already with how good their offensive line is. There's no specific thing we have to do or this or that. We just cannot get bullied in the rush, especially. You can't allow this offensive line. We saw it happen 2 weeks in a row where guys are getting off their blocks and getting to the linebackers. Our linebackers need to have some space to work to be able to do anything. And without Devin Bush and Joe Schobert not playing the run very well, it's going to come down to what we can do with our front seven, not even including the middle linebackers. You can't allow that offensive line to bully us around, so that defensive line is going to have to take a stand. TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, Carlos Davis, these guys are going to have to step up. And even if it's not apply pressure, it's making sure that you're not getting bullied. Like I said, I don't want to see us 5 yards off the ball on a run play. I want to see us in the backfield or crashing down on lanes or whatever we got to do. People staying home, not falling for play actions, this and that. A lot of different things that I want to see us able to do and not get bullied by that offensive line. And third and last takeaway, throw the ball past the first down mark. We were like 0-6 at halftime, I think, of the last game on third down conversions. We have to start converting on third downs. That is a must. You're not going to win games by going three and out or even getting two first downs and then still punting it because you can't get past the third down. It's not going to happen that way. You can get a first down on first or second down twice and then still get to third down and not be able to convert it. We need to be able to convert those third downs. Whether that comes down to play calling or personnel or just Ben making a different pass or Najee making a different read, you got to convert those third downs. Keep drives going, get the defense off, keep the defense off the field, just like you were talking about. Which I guess that goes hand in hand with your sustaining drives ones. I didn't even think about that. I was just more specifically frustrated with third downs. But you can sustain drives technically without third down. Just go get first downs on second down.
Yeah,
every time.
I don't think either one of us is going to complain if they start converting on second down. No, that's for sure.
Not at all. So yeah, that's going to wrap up our show for the day. I hope y'all have a very Merry Christmas. Just saying.
Yeah.
Very
have
merry.
Have yourselves a wonderful Christmas out there. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and follow on any of our social media platforms, also on any of the audio that you may listen to us. If you haven't subscribed on YouTube yet, go right ahead and do that. It'll make our day, I guarantee you.
It's free. It's free. You don't have to pay anything.
It's free. Yeah, you pay absolutely nothing. Just hit the subscribe button. Tell your friends. Share it. Like it. You know you like it. You love it. Or you wouldn't even be here at the end of the show by now. So thanks again for joining us. Feel free to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and the YouTube machine. For Cody, this is James signing off.
Peace.